Now entering Nerdist.com.
This episode of the Sex Nerd Sonder podcast is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. They are determined to help you spice things up. They're backing up that promise, so check this out. Go to AdamandEve.com and you'll get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code SEXNERD at checkout. Now, you'll also get a free Big O kit. This handy kit includes their exclusive climax gel and a mini vibe. You'll also get your entire order sent to you for free, so get on it. Take advantage of this deal while it lasts. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else for 50% off. I highly recommend the wireless vibrators. You get free discreet shipping plus the Big O kit, climax gel, mini vibe. Just use offer code SEXNERD at checkout. That's SEXNERD at AdamandEve.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Well, hey there, sexy monkey, and welcome to the show. I am your host, Sandra Doherty, and we're about to get into some commercial phone sex conversation. I realized as I was putting the show together that my very first sexual experience with another person was actually phone sex. Seventh grade, a harmless game of truth or dare gone awry. And here we are today. I also remembered, and if you haven't seen the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson from last year, there is some remarkable phone sex in that movie. But we are going to be talking about phone sex for pay, which is, I can't believe what an amazing time I had talking about this. So first, Moshe Kasher will be telling us things he has never told anyone before. I mean, we have this scoop right here. And then Ashley Manta gives us the behind the scenes of a phone sex operator. I wanted to let you know that Portland, I will be doing a show in Portland in July, either the 17th or the 19th. I'm not sure. I'm waiting on the venue for a few details. But I do want to announce here, first and foremost, that Erica Moen, the cartoonist and creator of Oh Joy Sex Toy, will be my guest. So I cannot wait. Stay tuned for details. I will be posting them on Facebook and Twitter as well. But it's going to be a fantastic evening. It's going to be so fun. Also, Erica's Kickstarter for her Oh Joy Sex Toy book, it has 8 days left from the release of this podcast, so you should go on there, contribute to help her pay her guest cartoonists a living wage, and you also get to order your book, which is, you know, handy. I know I want my book immediately. And if you haven't found out about Oh Joy Sex Toy, you should really check it out, because so good. Okay, thanks for tuning in. Let's do this thing. Moshe Kasher.
Not really.
No. Moshe.
Yeah.
Hey, last time you were on the show, it was totally like you were giving me all sorts of pronunciations.
I don't know if that's... So this is what you go back and forth like a news reporter?
Yes.
With the microphone, just so that if you're at home listening. It's much more intimate.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah.
Very intense how close you are.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, I mean, hey, listen, yeah.
It's an intense podcast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get into it.
I mean, I'm trying. I like your podcast. I just this new intimate news reporter vibe. If you could see what's happening here, it's really intense.
And I'm farther away than some of my interviews. You.
I heard once that different races have different comfort zones with space. Races, cultures,
probably cultures.
So, like white America, like a European. America specifically, it's two arms lengths. No. It's one arm's length, right? So this, right? Japanese people?
It's like 8 inches.
Two. No, it's big. It's two arm's lengths.
Really?
And Arabs, it's like real close. Like, and it's true so far as I can tell. I don't know about the... I think Japanese, because, you know, they got to be far enough to bow or something.
Well, you don't want any head injuries, but man, on the subway, have you ever been to Tokyo?
Right. I'm saying in terms of conversation, though, where the conversational comfort zone is one arm's length for Americans. That's where we're at now. Yep. I just got a high five. And then, yeah, one arm's length. Doesn't that feel right?
That does feel right. You're right. There is, depending on who I'm interviewing, it can feel really invasive, and sometimes it feels quite natural.
And then I've been to the Middle East, and it's definitely about some, like, real close talking.
Up in the grill.
Way up. Hand in the armpit, buddy kind of thing.
Whoa.
You have a whole lot of dirt on your arm.
Oh, right? I do.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know what it's from. Let's get into the dirt.
Yeah. Ooh. So I told you that this week I am exploring phone sex. And I'm like, hey, do you know, is that a thing? Because, you know, we're talking about boobs next week. You're like, no, phone sex. Like, so what comes to mind when I bring that up?
Well, it's interesting. Is phone sex even a big thing anymore?
Well, there's the professional phone sex, and then there's just talking sexy and getting off on the phone.
Recreational phone sex. That's right. It's interesting because phone sex. Okay, I have a lot of experience with professional phone sex.
Okay.
Not from a. I was never an employee, but I could have been. No, but when I was a kid, that was one of my chosen methods of pornography was to call phone sex lines.
How did you pay for all that phone sex? Like, how old are you?
Like 13. Yeah, like masturbate and don't think of the consequences kind of age. I was like, how did I pay for it? Actually, my bar mitzvah money. Every penny of my bar mitzvah money went to my phone sex habits.
Naughty Jew boy.
Naughty Jew man.
Oh, yes. Post, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I both went through my bar mitzvah and was masturbating furiously to people. But here was what was weird about it is right when I started, 900 numbers had become blocked, you know? Because right. That was a moment in history. Because that's why I ask if that still exists, because they had 900 numbers and 976 numbers. How old are you?
30.
It's like probably literally exactly before your time.
Oh, how old are you?
I'm 34. So it's like, it's probably the exact moment where they had 900 numbers, 976 numbers, and then everybody blocked them, and they made this workaround. And this is like the main story in my current stand-up hour right now is about this. They made this weird workaround where you could call these foreign countries, and their long-distance service provider had made an arrangement. So it was a regular international number, mm-hmm. right? But somehow it had some special thing where the connection fee was $15, and then it was like $5 a minute. And you jerk off to someone, some heavily accented, you know, sultress in some far-off nation.
I'm making a lot of faces right now because, like you said, $5 a minute. And I'm just like, how long would you stay on these phones?
I mean, well, here, I've never told anybody what I'm about to tell you. After a while, I started getting nervous about how much it was costing because it's expensive. Even as a 13-year-old jerking off. Which is pretty lightning fast. I think it is. But it would still be like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. That's still $50 a call or something like that, right? Yeah, $15 connection fee.
Hey, we're not mathematicians.
No, we're not, but we are. I am a Jew and I should know. But then there were free ones. But unfortunately, those were gay.
Ah.
And I'm not gay, but I was 13. And being 13, at the level of horniness you are when you're 13, sexual orientation is sort of probably secondary to arousal. Do you know what I mean?
I am glad you said that.
Like, right?
No, yes.
You get so horny. I was thinking about it today because I knew you were coming over. You know, all boys go through this thing where they go, am I gay? Mm-hmm. And it's usually at about 13. That's usually because you're so confused about sex and you don't know. You think, oh, if I haven't thought about a man, that maybe means I'm gay. Never mind the fact you're only attracted to women. That should be all the evidence that you need, what your sexual orientation is, or only attracted to men, or attracted to both. You know what I'm saying? But you're still going, because of society's kind of like telling you that it's a bad thing.
It's a whole lot of stuff. So what all the things you said are jumping off points to things around orientation. But yeah, I mean, you know, I look at a mannequin and I get turned on, you know?
Right, right. And does that mean, what does that mean? Next to nothing is what it means.
Pretty much.
So I was thinking maybe the reason that kids think they're gay, I'm just talking about heterosexual kids that have this, I think it's sort of a rite of passage where you have to go, am I? No, I'm not. And it's probably because you're 13, you're so fucking horny that that you have sexual thoughts about everything. You have sexual thoughts about men and women and mannequins and your mom and everything in between. Maybe you're just really, really horny.
We figured it out, you guys. We finally figured it out. Moshe, thank you.
Yeah.
No, let's get back to it.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so there were some gay phone sex lines, and I did partake in those. And I'm talking, I'm a 13-year-old boy on the phone. So I was pretty perverted, I guess, because it was pretty deeply developed, you know, and I was going outside of my own sexual orientation, and I was still sort of able to function linguistically within the world that they were kind of posing to me.
But Ashley, the person I also interviewed for this, I mean, she'd kind of go, hi, this is Ashley. I mean, were they like, hey, this is Brian? And you were like, pretend like I'm hurting you. Like how did you just sort of fall into...
Well, the thing is, this is really about a sexual dichotomy between men and women. I used to talk about a lot more about this in my last stand-up hour, which is, you know, a lot of people, and maybe you're going to vehemently disagree with me because you think a lot about sexuality a lot more than I do, but a lot of people, when they think about what it's like to be gay, are really, what they're really, you know, this whole thing, oh, gay guys are like, you know, you can have sex whenever you want, you can fuck whenever you want, it's just so promiscuous. But it's really not about being gay at all. It's really about being a man who happens to be attracted to men. Because, like, the line in my act is, have you ever heard of a lesbian sex cruising park? No. And then there's some more offensive stuff that comes after that. But the point is, the sex cruising parks, they're just men. And it really is about male sexuality, not about homosexuality at all.
Men in society are allowed to be sexual and want sex. And you get a whole bunch of them who are okay with sleeping together. And they get to just all... Like, it's really easy to get laid as a gay man. And it's less easy as a straight man.
And it's less easy. It goes all incrementally. I always say that homosexuality is actually, and I know we're not talking about phone sex, we'll get to that. But I always say that homosexuality is the ultimate embodiment of that gender's version of sexuality.
Huh.
So when you get to like gay men, then it's really about like, there's a lot of, it's hypersexual and it's hyper, like there's a lot of hyper promiscuity. And then you get to gay women, there's a lot of hyper intimacy and hyper relationship. And obviously there's a spectrum and, you know, there's certainly.
Damn spectrums.
Yeah, there's certainly boring, monogamous gay male couples and crazy, you know, freaky, promiscuous lesbian sex cults. But
Moshe, get back to it. So, what did you do?
So I would call these amateur phone sex lines. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I would call these amateur phone sex lines because these weren't professionals is what I'm saying. These were like gay men chat. Oh, my point was the fact like I could call a chat line with a bunch of straight women on it. But the idea that a straight woman is going to pick up the phone and I'm going to be like, tell me about your pussy. And she'd be like, well, it's super wet and it's ready to go. Like the moment that's probably not going to happen. I don't know. I might have to have a conversation with that person, get them to actually think I'm interesting in some way in order for us to indulge. But a gay men's phone sex, or a gay men's chat line, they're fucking ready to go. They don't need any information.
I see. This isn't that the gay men aren't making money somehow. It's just guys ready to have a sexy phone call.
That's right. These are just men and they're ready to rock. And I'm 13 years old, 13-year-old boy on the phone with these. Ostensibly, maybe they were also 13-year-old straight men. That'd be hilarious. Everybody was a 13-year-old straight man just who couldn't afford heterosexual phone sex anymore.
So was it just like hot breathing and like cock, 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 hot breathing?
Or? I mean, no, it was like, you know, very, you know, descriptive. You know, it was hot talk.
It was descriptive about your turn on in the moment. Like, it's, you know, we were talking about some people, like you're talking about some fantasies or things that they is it, I want to do this, and I am doing this?
Yeah, and I, you know, like I said, the bulk of my phone sex life, especially, most of it, I mean, there's been intermittent stuff, you know, with people that are far away or, you know, but most of my real phone sex stuff happened when I was an adolescent. As it's almost the perfect time for it, except that it's not.
Well, it's safe sex.
Yeah, it's right. It's sort of consequenceless until you get the phone bill. But... It was pretty sophisticated for... Oh, but what I was going to say was I hadn't developed, like, fetishes or even... I didn't have the sexual language. I think I would... Yeah, I was a virgin. So I didn't really know, like, what I like, you know? So I wasn't able to be like, oh, what I'm just articulate. Oh, this is specifically what I'm into, you know?
Do you look back on that time as a healthy time or, like, how do you consider it? How does it fit into the to you?
I mean, I actually think it's a piece in the puzzle of a pattern of sexual, what's the opposite of anorexia?
Gluttony.
Gluttony maybe isn't even the right word, but I've always been a person that's at sexual extremes. Mm-hmm. I'm now in a monogamous relationship, so that's changed a little bit. But it was, we talked about the last time I was on your show, I've been a very promiscuous, literally with actual partners, promiscuous person. So I see that 13-year-old boy on these phone sex lines. That seems pretty hypersexual. Maybe not. I mean, all 13-year-old boys are...
It seems smart and, like, resourceful.
I mean, smart until the phone bill comes.
So what did your... Like, did parents get involved here? Did they find out? I mean, I remember dialing a 900 number, I think, once. Kind of like, what happens if I type 1-800-HOT-TITS in? What, you know?
Well, I can tell you what actually does happen. Most of them, and this is as far as a lot of boys ever get, you call a number, and it'll say, especially those 900 numbers, it'll say... Oh, hot talk. You want to fuck cunts and rub tits? Press 5 to begin billing now. And then most kids would go click, hang up the phone, because that's pretty hot, just listening to that opening stanza.
I remember that. I would do that from payphones. I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, so, and then they would press 5 now for hot pussy stuffed with your dick. And then it would go click, 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 and then you start getting charged. And if you try to do it on a payphone or something, they'd be like... You know, doesn't work. There's a dental dam preventing you from going any further.
So, did your parents get a bill?
But then there was a workaround where you could call this number, this foreign number, where there was literally, there was no chat room. There was just a, you know, foreign voice, because it was literally designed to get around 900 numbers being blocked. So really, it was just to tempt children, I would assume. Who else is not able to call up because of a 900 number block?
But did it show up on the billing statement for your phone bill, or was it like, did you get a calling card? I mean,
yeah, as far as I remember, it would just say, like, you called Guyana 90 times, you know, for 5 minutes every night between 11 and 11:05 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it'd be like $50.
So that's something that, I mean, I guess I keep asking about if your parents found out.
Well, they did. And the other element to this is my parents are deaf. Mm-hmm. So they definitely weren't calling phone sex lines. They knew there's no possibility of me not getting busted here. Phone sex is entirely wasted on the deaf.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be.
Although, I used to work on phone lines as a sign language interpreter. Mm-hmm. And these guys called up, I remember, and they...
Sex or just... Phone line.
I was an operator, a regular operator,
okay.
A sign language interpreter that would interpret phone calls for deaf people over webcams. Mm-hmm. So let's say somebody wanted to call Domino's, they would go onto their webcam, mm-hmm. and then they would click connect to connect, go through a computer program to connect to a sign language interpreter, and then I mm-hmm. would pop up in their little webcam. Mm-hmm. They'd see me, they'd see themselves, and they'd say, we want to call Domino's. And then I would, on a telephone, you know, set, I would call Domino's and I'd say, hey, there's some deaf motherfucker that's trying to get a pizza. That's literally how I would say it. And then the deaf motherfucker would start talking and be like, I want a pepperoni pizza, deliver that. So, and I would say it, and then that would be that. So one time there were two dudes sitting in a room, and they called, and they were like, I called the number, and it was like, press 5 now for hot cunt talk. And I was interpreting it, and then I was like, so you have to interpret everything you hear. You know, you're not really allowed to be like, this is gross or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was interpreting it, and then they were like, I remember they're like, no, we don't want that. You know, because they didn't want to, like, jerk off. First of all, I wouldn't have let them jerk off.
Right, because that would be a boundary, I would imagine, professionally.
Right, that would be too much for me to deal with them jerking off on camera, because I would have to deal with that. I would just be like, sorry, dude, not going to happen.
You can't sign as well.
No, I could sign perfectly. I wouldn't be jerking off.
No, like, I guess it depends on, yeah, which way the signing was happening, at which point in the phone call. But anyway, yeah.
You're right. Their responses would become increasingly muted as the hot talk went on. But they were like, no, we don't want that. We want, like, a woman to come here and fuck us.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, you want, like, a prostitute? Oh, okay. And they were like, yeah. They didn't quite know what they wanted. And they're like, do you know someone? I'm like, they just somehow, like, that was something. I was like, oh, yeah, hold on. Let me open this file. Yeah. Well, what? Are you in Dayton? Yeah. Oh, I got Shaquanda. I don't know why she's black. Why did I make her black? I don't know. But anyway, I was just like, no, I can't help you, dude. I think I told them, you know, look on the internet for escorts or something like that. But I didn't help them that day.
Good man. Good man.
Oh.
But anyway, phone sex, gay, the phone bill came. It was my bar mitzvah. I got $1,500 at my bar mitzvah.
That's right. That's the money you're paying with.
That's right. And my bill, the phone bill, $1,500. I took every penny of my bar mitzvah money and immediately liquidated it on my penis. And that was how I became a man.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, that's the right response, I think. Yeah. Or oi gewalt, something like that.
Sure.
I don't know. I've wasted money on stupid shit. And why not? You know, now it's a comedy special coming up.
Well, right. Yeah, that's true. I would always take a bad experience for a good story. But the point is, I was 13, so I was living without consequences. I wasn't thinking about the phone bill that was definitely and inevitably going to come. I mean, I knew on some weird level that it was going to come and I was going to get in trouble, but every night the compulsion would pop up, and so that's what I would do. And this is before the internet. Right before the internet.
What you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, just... I mean, the internet was there, but it was like, you know, AOL, pixelated, the kind of thing where you'd go into a chat room, and nobody... I don't think... what is it called? Cyber sex had really been, it hadn't fully flourished yet.
People were doing it, but you hadn't gotten wind of it.
Or maybe I had, but it was, you know, cyber sex is also harder to come by. Unless, again, going to a gay men's chat room.
I mean, I could find it pretty fast when I was 13.
You're a woman.
That is a good point. That's a good point. I guess I imagine that everybody can just be anybody.
Right, and if you had been willing, that is interesting because, you know, if you had been willing to, if I had been willing to pretend that I was a woman, I definitely could have had cyber sex at any day, any point, any moment. But for some reason, I never did that. So maybe I did know some things that I liked. I didn't want to be oppressed, you know? I didn't want to make, you know, 78 cents on the dollar sexually in that chat room.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Si se puede.
Si se puede, indeed. Yeah, this one's for la raza. And a woman needs a man during cyber sex, like a fish needs an AOL online. Do you remember AOL?
Hell yeah, I do. It sound haunts me. Where can people find you in the world? What's up? You got anything coming up?
They can follow me on Twitter, @MosheKasher. They can also... definitely go to my website, moshekasher.com, and hear all about my upcoming stand-up dates where I tell this whole story ad nauseum. I'll tell you the best story that I've got, but I just don't want to do the whole bit because it's so integral to the special. But the best call I ever made, and this is sort of the pinnacle of the current hour that I'm touring with, so you guys please still come see me regardless, is that one day I called a number, one of these foreign numbers, and I think, I don't know where in the world it was, I think it was in the Philippines. I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm. My people.
She picked up and she was like, "Alo." And as I say in my act, I don't do voices very well, so it will sound like an old Russian man, but know that it was a Filipino woman. Okay. And she was like, I was like, you know, "Hey, what's up? I want to jerk my dick." Mm-hmm. And she was like, this is true story, hand to God. She's like, "No, sorry. I don't do that kind of call." And she didn't do that kind of call. So the only logical next step would be to hang up the phone, move on to a new plan, try a new number. But I decided to push the issue. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Come on, please." And she's like, "No." And I was like, "Please." And she's like, "No." And I was like, "Please." And she's like, "Oh, all right." And started talking dirty to me. And I have spent my entire adult life trying to figure out what happened that night. Did I pull a woman out of retirement for one last moan? Or even more compelling an idea, did I call a random wrong number in the Philippines and some amazing saint of a woman could hear the pain in my voice, the two deaf parents, the identity crisis, all of it, and just thought, this kid needs it. He can puck me. Puck away.
That's probably related to her, you know?
I hope you were. But think about how fucking crazy that story is. That really, really happened. Somebody suggested there's a possible explanation to the story.
My mind is racing. What'd they suggest?
Maybe she could tell I was a kid.
But what?
By my voice. Maybe she could tell that I was underage. And she was like, "No, I don't do that kind of call," hoping I would hang up. And then was just like, fuck it. Trying to make some money. I have no idea. The point is, something happened that night. And I hope that woman, wherever she is, in a high-rise housing tower in Manila, knows that she made a difference that night. She touched somebody. Well, actually, he touched himself.
She's like the National Geographic cover girl. You know, like tried to find
the Afghan woman. Did you see her, by the way?
Yeah.
We
finally found her. Yeah.
Afghanistan does not seem like a nice place to grow up. She's like this most beautiful little girl in the world, and then they find her like 15 years later. She's like, I'm 28 now, and she's like missing a limb and like riding a fucking llama with one hand.
Phone sex to Afghanistan. Thank you for making some time and talking to me about the phone sex. That was some deep shit right there, man.
I hope it was elucidating. Yeah, because I was thinking now nobody has, they don't really exist, right? The industry doesn't, I mean, it exists, but not like it did, because you have the internet. There's no need for it.
Definitely. I mean, and webcams and stuff, but there's still, I don't know how big the industry is, but the sex industry generally is fairly big.
Well, no, sex is still happening, even since 94. But I feel like phone sex has sort of been, you know, anachronisticized.
Sure.
You know, like, there's no need. You can go online within 15 seconds. You can see any, well, but the difference, I guess, is there's a real human doing what you tell them to.
Yeah, and I like that it's anonymous. I mean, I get webcam is one way and stuff, but there's something really intimate. And just for phone sex between couples, there's something quite wonderful about the sounds of hotness.
For somebody that you are engaged with on an emotional level.
Sure, maybe.
Because the thing is, I have no real interest in having phone sex, like, with people that I'm actually dating. That doesn't turn me on, because I have intimacy with them already.
To me, I mean, I just said this in the other interview, but to me, phone sex, I don't crave phone sex, but sometimes it just happens. Like, it's just a natural way the phone conversation progresses. And it's just like, oh.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. You're like Burbank, Taco Bell, the one on Pass Avenue. By the way, what are you wearing? I just want some information.
Moshe Kasher, everybody. Moshe Kasher. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be back on.
Hey, let me take a moment to tell you about a neat product that I've been using lately. It's a cool gadget called the No-No Pro. If you've listened to the show, you know I'm body positive and also kind of a klutz when it comes to hair removal. I don't like the pain of waxing, and I'm not that consistent with razors. So the No-No Pro is a fun and great way to remove unwanted hair with no pain. Whether it's your legs, arms, face, my aim is to thin out my leg hair, and that's a personal project of mine. I also hear it's great on back hair, which I thought was neat. You will love how easy this is to use, and it has weeks of long-lasting results. The No-No Pro comes with a 100% 60-day money-back guarantee, so if you're curious, just give it a try. You'll also get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. I enjoyed the lip stuff that they sent me. So go to nonosandra.com. Yes, literally www.nonosandra.com, as if they are chastising me, which is hilarious. okay, nonosandra.com. Check it out. All right, back to the show. Are you sure you're ready?
I am sure that I'm ready. I'm 100% ready.
Okay. Because there's no more foreplay. We're just going right into it.
Let's go right into it.
Hello, Ashley Monta.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think I'll be better after I find out more about the juicy world that you have inhabited, which I've known you for a little bit now, and I haven't really gotten the scoop that you worked in phone sex. How long did you do that for?
I worked in phone sex for about 8 months, and it was a real learning experience.
Oh, I bet. What do you do out in the world now? Like, just so people have like a context of who you are and all your magnificence.
Well, I am a freelance sexuality educator and writer, and then I'm also the e-commerce manager at the Pleasure Chest, and I'm in charge of the website for them.
Okay, so all the things, doing the things, and you just wrote an e-book. On phone sex, right? Like the Feminist Guide to Phone Sex?
Yes, I wrote A Feminist Guide to Phone Sex, which is available on Frisky Feminist Press, and it's free for a PDF download, which is nice. We want this information to be accessible to everyone, regardless of their income level or anything like that.
Yeah, that's Lauren's press. Like, she was on the Sex and Writing episode. She's fantastic. I really like her.
She's amazing and such an incredibly motivated person to bring together a group of writers and say, you know what? I want to publish your stuff, so let's make this happen.
Awesome. So, getting into it. Okay, here's the thing. When I imagine phone sex operator, because that's what I mean, I don't know if that's something that they were called back in the 70s, but that's still what I think of it being. I imagine somebody who doesn't have to go into the office, but can do it from home in like in a negligee and maybe a frilly robe, and then they're totally not into it, and the phone rings, and they have to get really into it all of a sudden, and it's funny.
That is pretty accurate. You work from home. I tended to be in yoga pants and a t-shirt, usually on the couch watching TV until the phone rang. And then it would take me about 3 seconds to drop into like sexy space. And I'd pick up the phone and it was like right there.
Tell me more about sexy space.
So sexy space is you have to be in character when you answer the phone because you're not just being yourself. You're being this person, this persona that you've put out on the internet that you've sort of pre-sold to prospective callers. And I had pictures up of this model because we all had to use models and fake names. So I would really kind of get into character. But luckily, I made the character like me.
Oh, so they didn't know anything about what you look like or anything. They just... So are you telling me that all those hotlines I've called, I wasn't talking to who I thought I was talking to?
That is exactly what I'm telling you.
Not even a little bit. Come on, there's got to... What percentage do you think of all those ads and the pictures of who you can possibly talk to? What percentage do you think that's not really who you're talking to?
I would say less than 10% is who you're actually talking to as to be who you're looking at.
Now, you were only in the business for 8 months, so how informed is this estimation? Give me some science.
I would say it's pretty informed because I had to spend an appreciable amount of time every week on back pages, which is where you advertise phone sex services. And I would look through the ads to get inspiration for my own. And you could see, like, you could just kind of tell when the pictures were fake because they were very posed. They were clearly photoshopped in some cases. Like, they weren't candid shots. These were not selfies. These are like model pictures. Mm-hmm. And if you see a model picture, it's probably not who you're actually talking to.
Okay, because that person's not a model. They're a phone sex operator who isn't going to get a professional photographer to do things.
Exactly. Like, I am 5'4 and about 250 pounds. My model was about 5'7, about 115 pounds, and had brown eyes and shoulder-length blonde hair, and I have blue eyes. And so you just have to kind of, like, put that into your brain. They'll be like, I love your brown eyes. And I'm like, I'm glad because they melt like chocolate. Like, just.
Oh, that sounds terrifying. Oh, my eyes are melting like chocolate.
Yeah, that sounded way sexier in my head.
No, it's cool. It's fine. It's cool. It's all right. I mean, come in my eyes is sounds way sexier than it actually is, too. Oh, but memories. What does sexy space sound like?
So sexy space, when I'm just regularly talking, I'm not doing anything. When I would answer the phone, I would smile. That is a key. Smiling when you answer the phone completely changes your voice. And I would say, hey, it's Ashley. And I would get all throaty and kind of breathy. And I would drop down an octave. And I would smile. And you could tell.
Wait. So, like, how would you say, like, hey, you guys, welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Show.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Show.
Okay. I have to admit, I have received angry emails from people who, like, sometimes I'll just fuck around and sound like that. Like, hey, everyone. Like, welcome. Welcome to the show. I'm your host. You know, and just, like, sometimes I'm feeling silly. And I'll get angry emails. They're like, don't do that. It's almost like, mommy, don't do that. You know, it's very, like, meh. Like, they get really grossed out if I do that. So I can't imagine turning anyone on because I've been reamed for making that voice before. But it worked. I mean, it works.
It works. Guys would love the voice. Like, I would say that. I'd be like, hey, it's Ashley. And they'd be like, oh, my God, I love your voice. That's amazing. Like, just keep talking. And I'm like, good. $2 a minute. Cha-ching.
How does that work economically? Do you consider it sex work?
I do consider it sex work.
Okay, because we had a we had Susie Q on to talk about sex work, and we were talking about how sometimes people are like, "Well, I mean, I get paid to do this, but I'm not one of those people." I don't know if you had a compartmentalizing of like, "Well, it's sex work, but it's only this," or like touch versus non-touch, or I mean, did you have any debates about whether it was? I don't hate to say moral, but like, you know, some people have the issues come up.
My concern surrounding it was I was afraid that by calling myself a sex worker, like I was infringing on territory that belonged to like hands-on sex workers. Like I was afraid I was in like infringing on their space.
Like so cultural appropriation.
Exactly. So I wanted to be really careful not to be like, oh yeah, I'm a sex worker, and have like people that are doing hands-on sex work be like, who the hell does she think she is? Mm-hmm. So I actually talked to a few sex workers who do hands-on sex work, and I said, is it okay that I'm calling myself a sex worker? And they all were very positive about it. They said, you know, if you are exchanging asexual, any kind of sexual act for money, you're a sex worker, period.
Okay. Okay. Well, then let's get back to the $2 a minute situation. One, how does that work? Like, are you freelance, and but then is there a company, or do you just put out an ad and anyone can do it, and then you just put down a specific like a burner phone?
You can do both ways. I happen to work with a company, which was easier in some ways because it gave legitimacy. There were a bunch of girls, so I attracted clients to the site. I didn't have to drive as much of my own traffic. And how it would work is I charged the client $2 a minute with a 10-minute minimum, so every call was at least $20. I get half, they get half. And that's how the paychecks would go.
Okay. I'm kind of like, I don't know what I would do. I mean, if somebody... Okay, I'm imagining it's a guy, mm-hmm. and I'm imagining they're already jerking off.
Mm-hmm. Each person was a unique snowflake, but there were some overarching themes. A lot of guys just called looking for a blowjob simulation. Of everything they could, I was a no-limits phone sex operator. I would have done anything, described anything, and most of them just wanted blowjob simulation.
Huh. Huh. I would love to be a phone sex operator if I could give them a discount. If they, you know, kind of like the, hey, thanks for calling your phone service. Stay tuned after the call and press pound for a survey that will, you know, I would have been like, hey, I'll give you 20% off if you stay around so I can ask you questions after you get off. You know, like, mm-hmm. I want to know why.
I have a theory as to why a lot of it is blowjobs, because a lot of the callers were from the Midwest and the South. Mm-hmm. Where there's a lot of kind of traditional ways of thinking, a lot of religion down there. And in some cultures in that area, sex is really for procreation. So you just have plain penis and vagina sex with your spouse once every so often, and that's kind of it. And my theory is that these guys were not getting blowjobs, which is why they wanted them so badly.
Right, the, you know, whatever's off the table is the thing you want the most.
Exactly.
I have a theory.
Tell me your theory.
My theory is that they really liked this sound.
I think that's a good theory as well. I had to have dildos on hand that I could fake sucking on so I could mimic the noises of a penis in my mouth. And a lot of them really liked gagging noises.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, that's okay. Did you actually gag, or can you give good fake gag?
I can give good fake gag.
Will you fake gag for me?
Sure.
That's really good. It's understated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to get all cartoonish, but no, you really kept it real.
I try to keep it authentic. Authentically fake gagging.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. Now you're a trick pony. I'm like, what other tricks can you do? Like, what...
So one of the things that clients would want me to do is fake smoke cigarettes. Like they would have cigarette fetishes.
Okay.
So I would go like I was smoking a cigarette.
That didn't sound particularly real to me.
No.
Maybe over the phone. Now I want you to call me and do that. So right. I know. But I don't smoke, and I haven't been around people that smoke most of the time. But yeah, I guess if you can create some mm-hmm. Restriction on that,
right.
Then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And then the other one that was really interesting that I had to kind of figure out how to do on the fly was this guy wanted me to make fart noises.
I think I know that guy.
This caller, he called me every other week, and all he wanted me to do was to say shit, piss, fart, and fuck over and over again and intermittently make fart noises. And that was how he got off.
Wait, so, I mean, you're telling me that's what you did, but you just said those words, but I'm guessing with the voice, with like, so like in sexy mode?
In sexy mode, he also wanted me to say them loudly. So he wanted me to yell shit, piss, fart, and fuck.
Okay, so first we got, okay, so I guess this could be my sexy voice. Sure, like, hey, you've reached Sandy. Welcome to the show. And now I gotta get loud?
And then you gotta get loud.
Okay, like, hi! Can you, like, how do you get loud in that voice? It's a quiet voice.
He was less enthralled with the voice and more enthralled with, like, I had to be loud. Like, I'd, shit! Piss! Like, loud.
Oh, so not just volume, but you were supposed to be into it and yelling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then I had to make fart noises, and I had to figure out how the hell to make fart noises on the fly.
Oh, I mean, I could help you there. I mean, I'm sure you worked it out, but I'm really good at raspberrying.
Exactly. Blowing raspberries into your palm is how you make fart noises happen on command.
you could claim professional fart noise maker on your resume. It takes a village. Like, what am I saying? No, it's like, oh, the realm of experience we have in life. That's amazing. Now, like, I understand being like, you know, Jane Smith America, you know, about it. Like, hey. Okay, maybe after Jane gets a little debauched. Did you change, like, did you have any sort of pre-negotiation, like, once they started, like, or would you just kind of jump into what it was like, improv games where they were like, there's an elephant. Yes, there is. There's totally an elephant. And you're fucking the elephant. Yeah, I'm totally fucking the elephant. Is it like that?
It was totally improv games. Like, I learned more about improv in my 8 months as a phone sex operator than like ever in my life. I could not believe some of the things that I had to think about on command. Like, so your best friend's over and she's, you know, just turned 18 and she's wearing a string bikini. Describe to me what you're doing to her. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm getting between her legs and running my hands up her inner thighs and licking her sweet pussy lips. And
well, that's a wow. Wow. I, you know, as much as I talk about sex, I don't talk that like just like, I don't say the phrase sweet pussy lips very often. Was this a natural, were you naturally very verbal around sexuality? Like, did you take to it like a fish in water, sexy water, or
like a dildo and lube?
Yeah. Or was it difficult at first? And did you, you know, were you Amelie about it?
I actually kind of got into it pretty quickly. I think it's because I spent a lot of time in my youth reading erotica, So I had that kind of verbiage in my head, and that helped me like craft language. And I would do a lot of mirroring. Like, if he's saying dick and twat, like, those were the words that I would use because that's what he wants to hear and that's what turns him on. Whereas my default would be cock and pussy. So
I always forget about twat.
It's not my favorite, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I honestly, I C word over T word, you know, if I'm going to choose between those two. Okay. So improv games, very exciting. What is the most challenging thing that you have been pitted against?
Torture stuff. Like really harming someone. Like, I've had clients call who wanted me to describe like torturing them to death.
Oh God, that's, yeah. So not just like, I would imagine that it would be you were being tortured, but it was more you being the sadistic one.
It was me being the sadistic one and torturing them. Or we would do two girl calls where he and I would be torturing a third girl. That was a very popular theme.
Did you also get calls where they wanted to torture you?
Occasionally. I did have one guy who was really into rituals, like Catholic rituals. Like, I had to sit there on the phone with him and do like the rosary. And then he would describe how he would start fucking me with a crucifix and like slitting my wrists and like drawing crosses on me in blood and stuff like that.
It's intense. It's a little intense, but not as challenging as being torturing someone else. Was it the visceral reaction of being repelled by what you were saying, or was it that you just couldn't think of what to do because it's not just part of your brain waves?
Yeah, that was more of the issue. Like, trying to think of creative ways to kill someone is not something that really comes up in daily life.
Oh, snap. That's crazy. It seems like a very healthy way to get out those urges.
I would certainly rather somebody be role-playing out those urges with a phone sex operator than, like, harming another human being, which is also how I rationalized guys that were really into, like, age play or rape play. It was like, okay, like, everyone has their fantasies and all fantasies are okay as long as they're kept in the realm of fantasy for some of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that, like, I can be the person that's helping you get these urges out versus, like, you becoming predatory on, like, a victim.
Definitely. What, do you have any favorites? I mean, I know we've gone into, like, the darker, more challenging aspects, but, I mean, do you have any warm, fuzzy, or hilarious memories?
My favorites were the guys who really enjoyed describing going down on me mm-hmm. and wanting to, like, pleasure me in all possible ways, who really wanted me to get off. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. You're paying me to sit here and masturbate and moan and, like, doing things that are going to turn me on. And where's the downside?
Okay, so you were actively engaged in masturbating. Was that something that would come up naturally, or did you kind of do it to also help you be in the mode? Like, what, chicken or egg?
Both.
Oh, okay.
It's a chicken egg. Sometimes I would be actually turned on by the things that we were doing. If it was a role play that particularly appealed to me or a scenario that I really liked, I would masturbate to make it more authentic. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't something that I was into, if it was like, I want you to describe kicking me in the balls repeatedly and masturbate while you're doing it, I would just pretend mm-hmm. to masturbate while I was describing kicking him in the balls.
To make that, like, masturbation sound, you know, when someone's kind of getting into it and they're like, like, do you just, would you just, like, shake your arm to kind of, mm-hmm. oh, yeah?
That's exactly what I would do. I'd be like, oh, yeah. And I could just, like, make my entire body quiver. And then,
wow.
And then I got really good at faking orgasms, which I was pretty good at to begin with, even though I don't recommend it in interpersonal connections. But for phone sex, it can be helpful if you need to be able to fake an orgasm on demand. So I got really good at the, like, like, yeah. The full body shake.
Right. And the holding back, the muscle tension, the mm-hmm. I gotta keep it in, can't let it out.
Can't let it out. It spills out.
Oh, that's fun.
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just like, there's so much. Like, I can't even, I don't know. Like, would you recommend it to somebody? I mean, people are listening. I mean, it is a job option. Now, is it legal technically?
It is legal. Phone sex is legal because there's no hands-on touching, which is one of the reasons why I chose that versus hands-on sex work, just because it's, I think it's a little bit safer because you are anonymous and it's also legal. Now, I am a big proponent of sex work. I think sex work, hands-on sex work should be legalized. But for me, this was just a more comfortable choice at this point in my life.
Definitely. What got you into it to begin with?
I had just moved to LA and I was looking for a job. My partner and I had moved here for his job and I needed something quickly that I could really start earning relatively quickly. And a friend of a friend was like, hey, have you ever thought about phone sex? And I said, well, why, yes, I have, actually. People have told me before that I have a good voice for phone sex. So that's what I did. And I got a hold of this company and what I found, though, was that I spent a lot of time doing things that were not phone sex. Like, I was on call 40 hours a week, but I only did about 200 minutes a week on the phone. The rest of it was writing blogs, doing ads, talking on AIM or Yahoo, and, like, trying to solicit callers, mm-hmm. which got really annoying.
So I met you when you first moved out here, so I didn't realize that you were in the throes of finding. Oh, so do you regret it at all?
No, I am really grateful for the experience. I think it taught me a lot about what different people are into. It helped kind of broaden my sense of human sexuality. And I, so as a sex educator, I found it like fascinating to see who would call me and what they would want and like where they were from. And like, I had a bunch of ministers that would call me.
How did you know? How did you know they were ministers?
They would say that they were ministers. They're like, I'm a Southern Baptist preacher from Alabama.
But what if they were in character?
That's entirely possible.
Okay. But probably they were just talking about who they were.
Probably. And the caller ID did say Alabama or wherever they were from.
And really, it was mostly Southern U.S. citizens.
Southern U.S. citizens, Midwest. There was a dash of that. There was a guy in Philly who would call me every week and we would talk for like an hour and a half. And he just wanted to talk. Like, how's your day? How are things? What's your life like? Like, he just needed somebody to talk to.
Aw. I was wondering if there were people who just... Was that unique to him? Or was there a small percentage of clients who were like that?
There's a small percentage. It's definitely an outlier. Most want to talk about sex. But there are, I would say, maybe 2 to 3%. And I'm pulling that number out of my ass. But I think I had maybe 4 of those individual clients throughout the course of my time as a phone sex operator.
Here's a thing. Just to double check. You had that one friend who offered you to get into phone sex, but did you have friends to be like, hey, do you guys, how do you make the farting sounds too? Like, you know, did you swap stories or techniques with people and have, or were you just like this lone wolf getting calls in the middle of the night?
There was actually a really cool thing about working with a company was that we had teams, and there was like Sabrina's team and Glamour's team and these different people, and you would have their Yahoo messages and you could like message each other and like, hey, this really worked well for me. Or it was a lot of idea sharing and brainstorming and supporting one another. I just had this really shitty client who did this and this, and you could rant, and it was a really nice kind of community of people to be involved with, even though I didn't know any of them beyond their stage names.
Okay, that's nice, because I just imagine it'd be a little isolating. Like, it's just you versus the world of people calling you. And oh, what a neat thing. That makes me want to do it. And then I know that I'll get nervous and scared and shy.
It can be really daunting. And the other thing is, there's two different types of companies. There's where you're like night flirt, where you're just an individual like putting up your stuff, and then there's like you can work for a company. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a little bit of a different experience depending on which way you go.
Ashley Monta, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you in the world?
You can find me on my website, ashleymanta.com, or you can find my book, A Feminist Guide to Phone Sex, on Frisky Feminist. And in the next couple weeks, I'm going to be starting my very own podcast called Carnalcopia, which will be hosted by the Swing Set Network. So, yay!
Yay! And I just learned your last name is pronounced Manta.
I mean, I'll take either. It's all good.
It's pronounced Sandra, but people say Sandra. I totally understand.
Exactly. And
now we know. Thank you, and go Team Fun!
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Hi, you're welcome.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.